Well, good morning, Grace people. Good to see all of you here, and welcome to all of you who are joining us online today. If you are in the space and you want a Bible, we do make it a practice that our ushers will hand those out. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture today, so if it's helpful for you to have it in front of you, or you can pull out an app, that would be good. We do have them in the back, so if you want a physical Bible, you can go ahead and raise your hand, and somebody will bring one to you. Currently, we are in our series, The Way of Jesus, where we're trying to be in the way of Jesus, again, not in Jesus' way, that's very different, but in the way of Jesus. The earliest disciples, the followers of Jesus, for the next while, weren't called Christians. That name didn't come about till much later, but rather they were called followers of the way, because Jesus' followers had a specific way of life, because Jesus had a very specific way of life. And so we've been trying to follow along with Jesus, to watch him and to learn from him. How are we supposed to live as your followers, Jesus? How do we do this? I had a problem preparing for today's sermon, which is on serving, really serving people the way Jesus served people. And the problem was, I don't want to do it. Not the sermon. The sermon's fine, the serving. Right? Like, I can talk about serving, but serving's a little tough for me, and there's a very good reason for that. I'm the last born child and the only boy, so clearly, I'm used to being served. Any other youngest children out there who are like, yep, that's me? Any resentful older children out there? Any middle children who are just like, yay, I get to raise my hand? Beautiful. Well, yeah, even though it is my natural predisposition to be served, thankfully I'm a husband and a father, and that's just a daily commitment to serving my wife, to serving my children. One of our kids is sick currently, so if I look a little sleepier than usual, we were up very much of the night with him. But God prepared me for this life of service. And I can think of one very particular instance. I was living in a discipleship house in Dinkytown in Minneapolis on the near the University of Minnesota, near the U there. And it was about a dozen guys of us that were living in this house. And it was generally supposed to be kind of like a take care of your own stuff sort of situation, right? Like, you use dishes, put them away. If you do whatever, just take care of that, and then we all had chores that we shared around the house. But I was noticing that it seemed to be a problem that people would not just wash their dishes and put them in the dishwasher even. They just stayed in the sink. And when you have 12 people and, like, countless people coming through the house, that adds up real quick, right? So I'm not Minnesotan. I'm not passive-aggressive. I'm just straight-up aggressive. So I just wrote on the whiteboard, like, do your dishes, and, like, drew pictures of, like, appropriate places, cabinets, dishwasher, inappropriate places, the sink, would do these kind of things. It was a couple weeks that I was pretty annoying housemate. But then one day I was, like, staring and seeing it, you know, the dishes in the sink again. I was just like, oh, seriously? And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was just speaking to me, right? And this is a discipleship house. The whole point was we wanted to be more like Jesus. And I just feel the Holy Spirit just say gently, you do the dishes. Like, ah, what? He's like, just do the dishes. Just do the dishes. Just serve your brothers. Just do it. Get over it. So I did it. So I did the dishes. And for the next while, I would see the dishes piling up, and I would do the dishes. And I kid you not, the Holy Spirit met me in the doing of the dishes, in the serving of my brothers, not because it's something I wanted to do, but because it made me more like Jesus. So serving, thankfully, it's gotten easier for me, and it's something I actually come to enjoy, but it's not my native tongue. It's not my first language. I think on my own, I'm a little more selfish. And we have these missional values here, right? Let's see how many you've caught on to it, all right? I'll start the first one, but then you're on your own, so good luck. Okay, staff, don't help so much. All right, we will see people. Yep, we will love people the way Jesus. We will serve people the way Jesus. And we will. All right, give yourselves a hand. You made it. We will see, love, serve, and teach people the way Jesus sees, loves, serves, and teaches people. And three of those are easy for me, right? Like, I can see people, I can love people, I can teach people. The serving one is challenging. And it turns out, as I was really considering this, I have this subliminal, I can't think of another word for it, but a not obvious checklist that I use when I have an opportunity before me to serve. And it's something like this. There's three things. Is it convenient? Am I good at it? Will it cost me? If all three are a yes, then I'm in, right? If it's convenient, I can do it, and if it doesn't cost me, I said that wrong. It's fine. But you all are like, that's not how this works, Dan. See, the first service didn't catch that. Nice job, guys. But that's not the Jesus way. Like, Jesus' way is much different than my checklist, which is unfortunate if I want to stay how I am. But if I want to be a disciple of Jesus, then it's actually very good news that he shows me a better way. As we look at those values again, see, love, serve, and teach, I was catching myself because it's like, well, we can see people, right? I can see, love, and teach, but it's hard for me to serve. But the question really is, can we love people without serving them? Is it possible to love people without serving? This is a problem that has existed for thousands of years in Christian theology. Martin Luther expanded on St. Augustine's work and this Latin phrase, incurvatus in se, which means curved in on itself or curved in on oneself. And that's a way that Martin Luther and St. Augustine described sin, that it's something that makes us look in on ourselves more. A very modern phrase would just be self-centered. We're self-centered instead of looking out and serving others. And this is our modern dilemma, which has existed for hundreds of years. And the biggest challenge is we are affirmed in this by all of culture. Everyone says that this is not only right, but it is good. I mean, you'll hear it in these phrases, live your best life. Rarely is live your best life mean, so put down everything you want and serve someone else, right? For us millennials, YOLO, live life to the fullest might be another one you hear, or carpe diem, seize the day, which is from 23 BCE. So that's over 2,000 years of phrases that don't really have to do with us doing things for others, but rather doing them for ourselves. And the problem is, they don't sound a lot like Jesus. They just don't. And we'll go into a lot of that here. In our Practicing the Way course, I was really struck that our unintentional spiritual formation, one of the ways that we are unintentionally spiritually formed is by the stories we hear. And these are the cultural stories that we hear all the time. Live your best life, do what's best for you. But we need to counter those with the teachings of Jesus and submit ourselves to the teachings of Jesus if we're to be his disciples. So today we're in Mark chapter 10. If you have a Bible, get there. Mark 10. It's on page 1442 if you are looking in the black Bibles. 1442. So James and John, a couple of Jesus' disciples, just a little background info. They want to be Jesus' right and left hand guys, the sons of thunder. They're like, Jesus, can we sit at your right and left hand? And I'm just going to skip a bunch of verses here, but the paraphrase is Jesus says, no. So all the other disciples are pretty upset about this. They're like, you guys, and they get in one of their arguments, and Jesus calls his disciples together. So here we are, Mark 10, chapter 42. Jesus called his disciples together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. In other words, you won't be like that. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus here is correcting his disciples. He's telling them high-ranking positions and power and authority and glory, turns out in his kingdom, don't come from being over everybody, but rather from serving others. That's not the stories that we hear. John 13 is next place we find Jesus. So if you're in the Black Bible, page 1534, this is the Last Supper. So John 13, starting at verse 4, this is Jesus' last evening with his disciples. So we can imagine if he's spending his last evening with his disciples, that we can be sure that whatever he's going to say is worth holding on to, right? So Jesus got up from the meal, this is verse 4, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Then to verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? At that point, all the disciples avoided eye contact with Jesus. He continued, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Very truly, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you do these things, to love others the way I have loved you. Have you been feeling blessed lately? Have you been feeling blessed? You can ask yourself. Jesus seems to have a pattern here that when you serve others and think of yourself less and think of others more, that is going to bless you. I think of a couple different analogies. A lot of people think, and I've been in this boat too, we think this is spiritual mythology, right? That if we want to be more like Jesus, well, we got to show up to church more, and we got to worship more, and we got to pray more, and we got to fast more. And like, while all of these things are true, it's kind of like drinking spiritual protein shakes and never going to the gym, right? The way that the faith gets worked out, the way that this gets worked out in us is in serving others, in loving others, in encountering other people and serving them. That's how Jesus did it, or else we just become spiritually overweight. We're overburdened with just the stuff we've taken on and we've never put it out. Similarly, have you been hungry for God? Have you been hungry for God lately? When I was in seminary, I decided to start running because I loved eating. These are not fitness tips, people. I just loved eating so much that I was like, I'm going to run. So I was training for a half marathon because you know how awesome it is to get back from an 8-mile run and just eat a giant plate of food and like not even feel it? It's amazing. I feel all of the food I eat now, which is very different. But similarly, when we think about our spirituality, are we hungry for God? Have we been working out our salvation in fear and trembling? And have we been serving others in such a way that we have come to the end of ourself, right? Like, Jesus is calling me to serve this person. I'm like, God, I don't have anything left to give. And he's like, good. You're hungry for me and what the Holy Spirit can do in you now. You want to be hungry for God. If you don't want to be spiritually just stuffed or obese, then we get to work it out. And the way that we are working out in our faith, serving others is a great start. Now, I will say sometimes we let silly things get in the way of listening to Jesus, right? We have our excuses. We all have them. I have them. You have them. They don't seem silly at the time, but then we take a look back and maybe he can call us out on them. This is from John 11, verse 38. Jesus' friend Lazarus had just died. It's a pretty serious situation. Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. This is verse 38. Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, "by this time there's a bad odor. He's been there 4 days." It's kind of like saying, "Well, Lord, I know you want to do something amazing and miraculous, but he stinks. Come on." You ever give Jesus like a "he stinks" example? Just like it's a really lame excuse for something like God wants to do something amazing, and you're just like, "But God, the smell." We do it. We can give Martha some slack. She had no idea what he was about to do. In Matthew chapter 14, there are some excuses, honestly, that seem pretty reasonable. Jesus is out with his disciples. He's teaching people, Matthew 14, and they've been there all day with him, and like people are getting hangry, right? So Jesus had come to this place. He saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them. He healed their sick, and as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "We're in the middle of nowhere, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." We don't know, we truly don't know or understand the depth of love and provision that God has for the people that he loves. And the amount of giving that he can accomplish when we bring him the little we have. Even if when we bring it, we do it sort of unsure and confusedly and like, really, I'm almost embarrassed. Because this is not exactly putting my best foot forward, Jesus, but here, I guess, just take this and do what you will. And then he does, feeds 5,000 people. Wow. This is who our God is. And what if we were to be willing to continue doing that as a community, just bringing him the little that we have, even if it's not in our areas of strength, because God can do something with it. It's not necessarily convenient or it's not comfortable, but it gives God an opportunity to do something and to increase our faith when we see like, wow, that was amazing. Great job, God. You're incredible. Last scripture I'll head to is one of my favorite passages, Philippians chapter 2. It's on page 1672 in the Black Bibles. So Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, the Philippians. They're trying to figure out how to be a church, just kind of like how we are, right? And trying to figure it out. And they get this letter from Paul, who's continuing to teach them how they should behave toward one another. And he says to them, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." So I have to then compare what Jesus is like and how he lived to my own personal checklist, right? Is it convenient? Well, Jesus, being in very nature God, took the very nature of a servant. Doesn't sound convenient to me. Am I good at it? Well, Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to cling to, but being made in human likeness and being found in his appearance as a man, he lived among us. Will it cost me? Again, Jesus made himself nothing. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus himself gave up his position of authority and of power and of glory, and he calls us to do the same. And if I'm honest, I don't want to do that. I don't know if anybody else kind of feels that inside of you. But that's the call. And we're to trust Jesus with it. That when we do these things, when we step out in faith into what he has and serve others, that he's going to work things out for his glory. And I'd like to say it'll be for our eternal good. Might not be comfortable at the moment. The cool thing about all this is when we do it, when we step out and serve, when we put ourselves last, this becomes a witness. This is the image of the invisible God being helped to be seen by all people, because when we do that, we are like Jesus. And so we get to be like Jesus. And that's great news. They see the love of the Father. They see what Jesus looks like. And this is a testimony we get to give just by being. If you're one of those people that's like, I just have trouble teaching the way Jesus teaches, start by serving the way Jesus serves. That's a great entry point, because you really don't get to teach people until you serve them anyway. That's just how the flow of it goes. So if you want more opportunities to teach people the way Jesus teaches people, serve people the way Jesus serves people, and then see what he does from that. If you've been feeling spiritually bleh, maybe spiritually stuffed, or maybe spiritually not hungry, serve people the way Jesus serves people. That may be your next step. If you want to be hungry for more of God, serve people the way Jesus serves people. Now, I do have to put out a caveat here, because some of you, I know this congregation, there are some of you who would rather be put to death than let somebody else serve you. You're the one who always does everything for everyone, and every time there's an opportunity to serve, you're the first to raise your hand. So you get the reverse of this sermon, actually, which is let people serve you. Ask for help. In asking people for help and allowing them to serve you, you are providing the service of being served. And if you're always taking up and snatching up all the opportunities to serve, then there are people who will not have, there won't be room for people who need to step into those spaces. So in all things, we ask God, God, is this for me? You know, am I supposed to be the one to step into this? And sometimes we don't get an audible yes, but I feel like if that's you, you know who you are. And if you don't know if that's you, ask your family or friends. They'll tell you if that's who you are. Yeah, they will not hesitate. One more word because of a conversation I had after the first service. Some folks, you're in a place where you're like, I just can't do what I used to do. Maybe physically unable. Life is just, maybe you've got small kids. Maybe you're dealing with parent stuff. Maybe you're. There are reasons why in this particular season, you may not be able to do all you even hope to do or think you should do. So this isn't like a, well, everybody buck up and do more. That's not it. There's grace here too, but my hope will be that in searching with the Holy Spirit, saying like, Lord, lead me into what I can do. If that's just praying for the church and for people that you love and for the world, so be it. And if it's more, let me know. Okay, so let me not just put burdens on you and be like, work harder, work more. There's grace there, but I'm also not saying do nothing. Right? In concert with the Holy Spirit, we catch a vision for this Jesus life and then let him lead us. So a reminder in closing from Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. If all of this sounds next to impossible, remember that the only way we can do any of this stuff is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we train under Jesus, but these aren't skills we master through the right technique. They are signs of the inbreaking kingdom of God that we channel through our bodies in love. Every person we see is a God opportunity to love and to serve. Would you pray with me? Well, Jesus, would you teach us how to serve? Thank you for the way that you served us, humbling yourself, becoming obedient to death. even death on a cross. And you call us to be like you. And we know we can't take away the sins of the world, for only you can do that. But teach us how to pour out love the way that you unreservedly poured yourself out for those you love. Help us to ask for help when needed. Help us to give help when it's inconvenient or uncomfortable or it costs. Would you lead us to be a community of disciples on a mission of grace, and may that grace look like love in service to others. Lead us and guide us by the power of the Holy Spirit. All God's people said, amen.